live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports on this Monday, March 19th, 2018. That's right. I am your host, L. Martin. Thanks, Chayo. We're here live in Studio S on the campus of Michigan State University on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. You already know what's about to come throughout these next 60 minutes here on WKAR's current sports. Fardens fans, you already know that your team is out of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, losing to Syracuse. Downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. Yesterday afternoon, Jim Boeheim getting the best of Tom Izzo. I have a lot of points I want to make on today's current sports. We were there, of course, myself along with engineer Ian Hawley. We sat courtside and watched Michigan State struggle against the Syracuse zone. And many Spartan fans are angry. Angry primarily at one man, that man being the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Hall of Fame head coach Tom Izzo. Not happy with how that game went, not happy with the lack of adjustments or lack of preparation, so it seems, going against Boeheim's zone. And many are even going as far as calling out Izzo's job. I'm going to put that in perspective in just a moment. I'm going to dissect what went wrong for Michigan State against the Orange yesterday. And I'm also going to address whether or not this season is a failure for Michigan State. And what does it now mean for this program moving forward? There are a lot of layers that I'm going to pull apart here, and I encourage you. I know many of you Spartan fans out there, we're going to also use this, I guess, as a therapy session for many of you Spartan fans out there. I know you're angry. I know you want to vent. I know you want to get it off your chest, and we're going to allow you to do that live here on WKAR's Current Sports. All I ask is that you keep it clean, but be honest with yourself as well. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there. You can comment below the video. I see a few of you already commenting. Justin, I see you. He says, I'm here to vent. Vent on, brother. I'll get to your comments as well later on this hour. And you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Is my official Twitter handle, and you can even tweet the show at WKAR_sports. So before we get into the chatter centered on Michigan State losing to Syracuse, let's get this out the way. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, as you know by now, I'm not breaking news here. Syracuse is now in the Sweet 16. The Orange used that zone to frustrate Michigan State and got just enough offense from its core three to beat the Michigan State Spartans 55-53 in Sunday's Down to the Wire second round game in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. Syracuse guard Tyus Battle sunk a step back right in the eye hole of Josh Langford with 47 seconds left to give the Orange the game's key basket, going up by three. Battle then drained two free throws with 6 seconds left to help seal the deal. He had 17 points, down 52-49. Michigan State's All-American Miles Bridges, who had 11 points, had two chances to tie the game in the closing seconds, but missed on two good-look three-point attempts. The heavily favored Spartans missed their last 13 shots, scored just 5 points over the last 5 minutes and 41 seconds. Top catalyst Frank Howard fouled out, actually, for Syracuse with 6:39 left to play in the game, limiting an already limited offensive team in the Orange without one of its top scorers. No matter, the Orange locked in on defense and scored just enough to seal the deal. Battle, Howard, and O'Shea Brissett combined for 45 of the Orange 55 points, while point guard Cassius Winston paced Michigan State with 15 points. I now ask you all, who's to blame for Michigan State losing to Syracuse in the second round in Detroit? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right, to a much lighter story, moving on here. Michigan basketball is heading back to the Sweet 16 for the second straight year, and it has Jordan Poole to thank, of course. But some are accidentally praising Oscar Award winner Jordan Peele on Twitter, and he is accepting the congrats. Peele directed, of course, one of my favorite movies, Get Out, becoming the first African-American to win an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay. Peele is also the co-star on Comedy Central's television series Key and Peele. The actual hero from the Michigan and Houston game noticed the tweet, and it's fair to say Poole was pumped about the shout-out. Quote, LOL, congrats on the Oscar, big man, much deserved. Huge fan of Key and Peele, and Get Out was fire. That's what Jordan Poole tweeted in relation to Jordan Peele, who basically said, I spent countless hours in the gym working on my jump shot. Thank you to you all. So just make sure, bottom line, make sure you're tagging the right person when you're on Twitter. All right. But this is certainly a funny story. Congratulations to John B. Lines, Michigan men's basketball team, as Jordan Poole hit the game winner against Houston to move on to the Sweet 16. That was such a riveting moment throughout this crazy NCAA tourney. All right, more on the NCAA tourney in just a moment. More on Michigan State in a matter of minutes. Michigan State women's basketball, though, returns to the Breslin Center tonight against Toledo at 7 p.m. in the second round of the Women's National Invitational Tournament, the WNIT. In the first round of the WNIT, MSU stopped Cincinnati 81-75. MSU has now advanced to postseason play 15 of the last 16 seasons. MSU joins Indiana, Penn State, Purdue in the field of 64 WNIT teams. Overall, 11 big teams will be playing in either the NCAA or the WNIT. But tonight, 7 p.m. against Toledo, you can catch Susie Merchant's team. Michigan State was topped by Niagara in baseball in a wild back-and-forth contest, 12-10, Sunday afternoon at McLane Baseball Stadium. The Spartans and the Purple Eagles split their four-game series, alternating wins all weekend. MSU is now 6-12 on the year, while Niagara is 4-10. This weekend was the first meeting between the teams since 1988 and Niagara's first visit to East Lansing since 1917. With this weekend's results, the Spartans now lead the all-time series 5-2. Michigan State wraps up its five-game homestand to open the home portion of the schedule on Wednesday, hosting Central Michigan at McLane Stadium. First pitch slated for 3:05 p.m. And Michigan State softball suffered a 9-1 loss on Sunday to number 7 Texas A&M in a run rule shortened 5 innings. The MSU pitching staff couldn't get a handle on the day as the 4 MSU hurlers combined to give up 9 runs on 7 base hits, walking 8. Bridget Rainey took the loss for Michigan State, falling to 4-6 on the year. She walked 5 and surrendered 4 earned runs. The Spartans begin Big Ten play next weekend when they travel to Lincoln for a 3-game series at Nebraska. As Tom Izzo was about to take the podium on Saturday at Little Caesars Arena, Michigan State interim president John Engler had a tense back-and-forth exchange with a reporter about the ongoing sexual assault controversies that have engulfed the university in recent months. The former Michigan governor blasted ESPN for its own problems with sexual assault cases nearly 2 months after the network ran a story in the wake of the Larry Nassar sentencing detailing allegations into Izzo's basketball program and Mark D'Antonio's football program. Quote, the 50,000 students on campus are going to class and they want a safe environment. I think you have a safer environment today. And with the changes we are making significant progress. That's what Engler told a small scrum of reporters. He went on to say, that's very much to the good. And that response to the larger national debate that ESPN is wrapped in. And he goes on to talk about the sexual assault situations that ESPN has dealt with, saying, quote, look at the sexual assaults you guys are dealing with as a company. It's pretty serious. In many ways, their company is one of the worst offenders in the nation. So we have a sexual assault challenge in America today. But for Michigan State, we are dealing with it on our campus. ESPN reporter Dan Murphy followed up and asked Engler, do you not think Michigan State is one of the worst offenders of sexual assault right now? Engler answered, quote, oh, I think ESPN is far worse than many companies in America today. Moving on, there's been another shift in the Red Wings and Colorado Avalanche rivalry, and now it's the Red Wings, you know, on the bad end of things, I should say. The acclaimed rivalry produced so much unforgettable hockey for over a decade, then saw the Colorado Avalanche decline and the stars from both teams retire. But Sunday's 5-1 Avalanche victory clearly showed they are way ahead of the Red Wings at this point. So the Wings sit at 26-35-11, just 63 points, and Sunday's loss extended their winless streak to an even 10 games. Detroit will take on Philly tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. The Detroit Pistons look to snap their 12-game road losing streak in a matchup against the Sacramento Kings at Golden 1 Center. The game starts at 10 p.m. tonight. And the Detroit Tigers are hosting the Baltimore Orioles today in spring training down in Lakeland, Florida. All right, that's it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's waste no more time. Let's get to the conversation at hand. Michigan State losing to Syracuse in round two of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. If you want to vent, if you want to get something off your chest, again, 517-355-WKAR. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is up and running there. Comment below the video. And you can even tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Asking you honestly, it wouldn't drive you out, would it? At some point, like you're back next year, I assume, right? Is that the right, even a question that I should be asking?
Yeah, Bobby, if you can ask that question. I mean, I never ever planned on going anywhere. From the first rumors to the first. I don't plan on going anywhere, Bob. I have a job to do, and I've never run from anything in my life. Nothing. So I don't plan on starting now. So I'll be here. I took too many bullets this year not to be here. So I'll be here. And we'll be back knocking on a door to win a championship. I'm going to make damn sure that I'm going to get the help of my people, my team, my support. And I hope I do a better job of handling all the other things.
Yeah, that's the question that many of you Michigan State Spartan fans are asking Tom Izzo right now, right? As Michigan State has now not gotten to the Sweet 16, not gotten out of the first weekend for now the third straight year. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you live here in Studio West on the campus of Michigan State University on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. Who's to blame? Who do you point that finger at, huh? The finger has to be pointed at somebody or somebodies, right? Because you can't have a season like this. You just can't. Where expectations are as high as national championship or nothing. And not even get out of the first weekend. That is what we have heard all season. Tom Izzo's best roster from top to bottom. Miles Bridges and the announcement in front of the Spartan statue here on campus, making the announcement that he wants to return for a second year to deliver Michigan State a national championship. Sent shockwaves throughout the college basketball community. You can't assemble essentially what is the most talented roster, actually in the history of Michigan State men's basketball. You can make that argument. And not get out of the second round. Not only that, but it's not just not getting out of the second round. But to not do it in what is essentially a home game atmosphere. Downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. That crowd was Michigan State heavy on Friday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. Someone is to blame here. And Spartan fans, in these last 24 hours, you have let it be known who that individual is. Basketball Hall of Fame coach Tom Izzo. I heard it from the moment that final buzzer sounded, and I was riddled with text messages. I was riddled with tweets from you all. I went on Facebook just for a moment, and many of you are writing Charles Dickens novels attacking Tom Izzo. I hopped in my car after going to the locker room with engineer Ian Hawley and talking with the players, and then we talked with Izzo. After his press conference, he does this media scrum after every game of the tournament in which we get a chance to ask Tom questions in intimate detail. I hopped in my car on my way from Detroit back to East Lansing so that I could do Jack Ebling's Press Pass All-Stars Fox television show. And as I'm listening to Talk Sports Radio in the Detroit area, I mean, many of you are coming at Tom Izzo. And you know what? It's hard, really hard, not to agree with you all to a certain extent. I'm going to preface this by saying that I feel the pain and I feel the criticism when it comes to Tom Izzo. And I'm going to get to a question when it comes to Izzo's future in just a moment. But first, you already know where I'm going with this. When the game was on the line and Michigan State needed to make a big play, I'll start here. Why, oh why, was Jaren Jackson Jr. and Nick Ward not in the game, watching from the bench. These are two players that have been two of your workhorses this season. And in the case of Jaren Jackson Jr., you have a top five NBA draft pick here. He is a lottery pick. And he sat on the bench in clutch time collecting dust. Ben Carter was the player of choice during the season's biggest moment for Coach Izzo, a player who averaged 7 minutes per game, had a stat line and finishes with a stat line of averaging 0.7 points per game, 0.9 assists per game, 1.2 rebounds per game. We all know that the injury struggles of Ben Carter have been well documented, so take that into account when I bring up those numbers as well. But that was the player that Coach Izzo went with under a minute left to play, and Michigan State within 2 to 3 points. Now, for context, I also want to clarify why Coach Izzo decided to make this move, because there was some, I stress some, method to Izzo's madness here, because many Spartan fans don't understand. I mean, heck, on Saturday after Michigan State practiced, and when Tom talked with the media, when the players talked with the media, previewing the matchup against Syracuse, Tom told you this was going to happen. Many Spartan fans didn't catch the quote on Saturday. It was like everybody was caught by surprise. Ben Carter in the center of the zone? What is going on here? There was some reasoning here. Carter was solid against Bucknell on Friday night. He played 10 minutes, did a solid job defensively on horses like Mr. Na'Na Fowlin. Carter was solid. I was impressed with his play on Friday afternoon. And after MSU found out that they would be playing Syracuse in that pesky zone, this is what Tom Izzo had to say in regards to Carter. This is a quote coming from Saturday. Quote, he's pretty solid in the middle of that zone. He really has a high basketball IQ. Xavier Tillman playing a little more has really helped because he has a high basketball IQ. So we feel we have different people that we can put in different positions. Here is Carter on Saturday. Quote, I think I can have an important role on this team. With my passing ability and my ability to knock down the 15-footer in the middle of that zone, it's important for me to always prepare for each and every game as if I will play. That way, if I don't get any minutes, at least I'm ready if I do play. End quote. I understood the rationale. But what I don't understand is why Izzo didn't make the adjustment when he saw that Carter had hit a ceiling when it came to putting him in the middle of that zone. And he seemed a bit undecisive. Well, you know, you mentioned that 15-foot jump shot. He seemed they gave him a jump shot a few times, Syracuse did, in that zone. But Carter second-guessed himself. I think he took like two shots the entire game. There was rationale behind it, but if it wasn't working, if it's broke, you got to fix it. And that didn't happen. Yeah, Ben Carter was 1 for 2 from the floor. I get the mindset. I get the play. However, your big-time players, those who have been the staple of this team, those who have played regularly in key moments, and who are some of your most talented jerseys, those players have to be in the game when it's close in the second round of the NCAA tournament, period. Because if they aren't, you, as head coach, are going to have to take the bullet. And that's what Tom Izzo has done. And that's what he did after the game, for whatever that's worth, right? You know, I had a flashback moment when I was driving back from Detroit to East Lansing. I couldn't help but think about the NCAA National Championship football game between Georgia and Alabama this year. A former Michigan State coach in Nick Saban, who made a gutsy move. And this is the thing about sports. You know, when you decide to make an out-of-the-box move, coaching decision, there are those who will criticize you initially. And if it does not work, you better believe you are going to get dragged through the mud and look like a complete idiot. Or it could work the complete opposite. If you make that move and it works out, you look like a genius, right? Well, you remember what happened with that Alabama and Georgia game, right? Former Michigan State head football coach Nick Saban, who many consider to be the greatest college football coach of all time. When Jalen Hurts was not getting the job done and playing poorly in that first half, he decided to come out in the second half and throw in Tua Tagovailoa as the starting quarterback. And Tua put on a show. Put on a show. 3 touchdowns, 166 yards, 14 of 24 in that game. Nick Saban praised to make a gutsy move like that. Jalen Hurts, who has really led you this entire way to the national championship, and you decide to pull him? Bench him? You're crazy, Nick. And Tua Tagovailoa shut up the naysayers. Nick Saban looked like a genius. Kind of the same conversation we're having right now with Tom Izzo. But Tom Izzo didn't realize, and this is the difference, Tom Izzo didn't realize that the move to put in Ben Carter over Jaren Jackson Jr. and Nick Ward, it wasn't working. You better believe it. Tua Tagovailoa came out that second half and started to muck it up just like Jalen Hurts. Another change would have been made. That didn't happen here in the case of Tom Izzo. And if you remember, this isn't new. This is why it's oh so frustrating as well. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Nick Ward were actually benched much of the second half in the loss to Michigan. The second loss to Michigan. We peg that on defensive issues of the two starting forwards. Jackson was minus 18 in his 24 minutes. While Nick Ward was minus 15 in just his 10 minutes of play. Both Ward and Jackson played 16 and 15 minutes respectively against Syracuse. But this is the NCAA tournament. Moves are amplified during this time of the year. And I have to agree with most of the Spartan fan base that are arguing that this is on Tom Izzo, because it is. This is on Izzo. This is on coaching. But I'm going to go further than that. This is also on the assistant coaches of Izzo. This is on the assistant staff, guys like Dwayne Stevens, guys like Mike Garland, guys like Dane Fife. Because if they didn't see what was not working in this game and didn't go to Izzo and say, maybe we should try something here or there or make an adjustment here or throw in Jaren Jackson Jr. and Nick Ward instead of Ben Carter. If they didn't see it and go to Tom Izzo and let him know this, they are at fault as well. And I don't know. Has Tom Izzo created a culture where it's his way or the highway? I don't know. I don't know what that coaching relationship is like, because we don't get to really see that insight. And it's not talked about much when it comes to Izzo and his coaching staff. But you got to believe that one of those guys, Fife, Garland, or Stevens, one of them had to say, Tom, this isn't working. Why is Jaren sitting on the bench? That's what you'd like to believe, right? But if they didn't, they're just at fault. But I'm all about holding everybody accountable as well. So I go from Izzo to his assistant coaching staff, to also the players out there making it happen. This is also on the players as well, okay? Because what if I told you before the start of this game that Syracuse, without even looking at the final score, if I would have told you, without, if you didn't even catch the game and you're just, you live on Pluto and you're sitting there saying, I wonder if Michigan State won. And I, if I told you before looking at the final score that Syracuse would shoot below 35%. My goodness, they shot poorly in that game. That Syracuse would make just one three-pointer. That Syracuse would have just three assists. That Syracuse would get out-rebounded 51-30, giving up 29 offensive boards. You would have picked Michigan State to win by 40 points. You would have been on your way to Vegas if I told you before the start of this game that that would happen. You would have been on your way to Vegas or calling up your bookie saying, give me moolah on Michigan State. And they still lost by two. There is no denying that Michigan State had great opportunities and looks throughout this game. Shots did not fall. Is that solely on coaching? Not at all. Players got to make plays. Look at the entire picture, reactionary fans. If you are going to hold Tom Izzo accountable, which he needs to be held accountable here, give some of that accountability on the players as well. I look at it as a 70-30 blame. 70 on Coach Izzo, 30 on the players. Because another stat that blows my mind is the fact that Jaren Jackson Jr., Miles Bridges, Josh Langford, Cassius Winston, four of the five starters all combined for a horrendous 9 for 46. That stat blows my mind. 9 for 46 from the floor. That is insane in the membrane. Michigan State has now failed to reach the Sweet 16 in three straight seasons. There is no way that fans should be happy with what has happened in these past 3 years now. Because when you have a roster of this type, nothing short of a national championship will do. Because if Tom Izzo couldn't get the job done with this team, with this kind of roster, I now question seriously if he will ever get that oh-so-sought-after second national title. It may have just slipped away. So, should that cost him his job? I'll answer that question after our first break. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Call in, vent. I'm going to get to a few of your comments as well. Many of you are tuned in on social media and have been commenting below the live stream. Many of you are angry. Many of you are saying this is unacceptable. Many of you are pointing the blame at Tom Izzo. We'll let you vent. Let's hit our first break. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Of course, you already know what we're chatting about. The obvious topic here on this Monday edition of Current Sports. Michigan State losing to Syracuse in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Who is to blame? That's the question I've been asking throughout this hour. Is it Coach Izzo? Is it the players? Is it the coaching staff? It's on Izzo. Most of this is on Tom Izzo. Without a doubt, that's my opinion. You heard my rant in segment A. You got to hold Izzo accountable. And he let it be known after the game that, hey, if you're going to blame somebody, blame me. Because if you do blame the players, we are going to have a problem. Well, I think some of this is on the players, Tom. I really do. You got to make shots at the end of the day as well. And you can't have four of your five starters going 9 of 46 from the floor. It's ridiculous. But also, the Michigan State seemed like they had never seen a zone before in life. It was amazing to me how there was lack of ball movement. And the thing is, if you're going to beat a zone defense, you got to do it by one of two ways. You got to hit shots from deep, first off, to keep the zone honest, or you got to have some dribble penetration. There was absolutely no dribble penetration throughout that game. No dribble penetration from the guards, nothing from Josh Langford, nothing from Cassius Winston. And if you don't have dribble penetration, you can't cause that zone to be honest, to think about Cassius taking you off the dribble, to collapse inside to open up possible shots from beyond the arc. Justin says, Dear Izzo, you gave Carter and Tillman a combined 45 minutes. You only gave Jackson and Ward, NBA-ready players, a combined 31 minutes. No second-half adjustments. Putting Jackson or Bridges in the middle of that 2-3 zone would have 8 Syracuse up. But you decided to keep Ben Carter there. I can see if we lost with our best players on the floor, but we lost with our best players on the bench, and that is not acceptable. This was the best team you have ever had. I'm sorry, but your time has officially arrived. Thank you for all the memories, but change must happen now. Justin says that Tom should step down or be fired, or he just shouldn't be the head coach of Michigan State moving forward. Ben says it's obvious that Coach Izzo does not run zone defense during practice because he can never beat teams that run the zone defense, and he has a losing record against coaches that have their teams run the zone defense. Judd was a master of the zone defense. Judge actually used to run the zone defense, something that Tom just does not believe in. Quote, Judd was a master of the zone defense. As head coach, you would have thought that Izzo would have learned how to beat the zone defense being Judd's assistant coach back in the day, but obviously not. Tony says, I have a feeling that's the last of 5-star players coming to Michigan State. Izzo can't coach talent, clearly. Oh, shots fired from you Spartan fans. But then Tony says, let me calm down. So Tony, his emotions are everywhere. Tony Towns, my man, Tony, his emotions are all over the place. Then Anthony comes at Ben when it comes to the zone defense. Anthony says, hey, Ben, how would you know if we do or don't practice against zone defense? You ever been to practice? So now we got our listeners going at each other. You see where the emotions are right now. Vince says he didn't even make any adjustments defensively either. So, yeah, you're getting the vibe here. You're getting the vibe here from our current sports listeners out there. I'm gonna ask because we have a lot of callers. Our phone lines are lighting up like a Christmas tree. So I'm going to ask respectively that you keep your calls short and to the point. I can't have a long 5-minute rant. So let's go, not on today's current sports at least. Let's go to line one right now. Dave, you are on current sports.
Al, go back to last Thursday. I just want you to get the inference. I said I'd be disappointed if they didn't make the Final Four.
Right.
Okay, that didn't mean that that meant that I wouldn't be concerned if they lost in the Final Four. I mean, that's a toss-up. But going back to this game, one, I hope orthopedic surgeons should be really busy for all the knee-jerkers calling for Izzo to resign right now. That's pretty laughable in my book. And secondly, yeah, there is some blame to be passed around. One, anybody think that all those players who were brought here for their shooting prowess would all go cold at once? And I think that goes back to my biggest gripe about Izzo is he didn't sit down Bridges and maybe Jackson and say, you're going to carry this team all freaking year. You're going to carry this team. All year it was like, they had somebody else they could rely on. Mm-hmm. If Langford went down, if Langford was shooting for crap, Winston was there. McQuaid sometimes bailed people out. And those guys. So that's what I really think is a style of coaching. He didn't have a Mateen Cleaves type personality that would stink and will people to win.
No.
Or going way back, Antonio Smith. Heck, those guys were more afraid of Antonio Smith than they were of Izzo sometimes. But I think if you got to go back, I think that he went so much of, well, Bridges is great. He likes to help his teammates so much that they needed Bridges to freaking take over that game, including driving to the basket, getting beat up, hopefully starting to make some foul shots.
Right.
None of that happened. And I do agree with you as well that, yeah, those assistant coaches, they got mesmerized by the game, and they weren't elbowing Izzo saying, You got to at least put Jackson back in.
All right.
I thought Ward was lost, but that's my opinion. Have a great day.
Dave, thank you for chiming in. Appreciate it. I certainly see Dave's points here. Let me temper myself because I'm going to get on a rant here. Let me stop. Line two. This is your time, current sports listeners out there. Our phone lines, we only got two lines, so which is a crime here on current sports, right? But we only got two lines, so now that line just got freed up. So call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Austin on line two. Austin, what's up?
What's up, Al? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I could be doing better, though. Many Spartan fans could, right?
Exactly. So, you know, I like to bring some humor to the situation. If you would have allowed me to be your cameraman like I've been asking for 7 years, you probably would have won that game. But, of course, you decide to take Ian with you. But Ian's my guy, so no love.
It's all my fault, man. It's all my fault.
It's all Ian's fault, yeah.
So my point is, to what you were saying, how dare you play Ben Carter more than Jaren Jackson and Nick Ward? But one of my things is there was about a 5 to 7 minute stretch where Matt McQuaid was running the point guard. And the best two ways to break down the zone, in my opinion, is to shoot him out or penetrate the gap.
Exactly.
The one time you could have used Tom's strength, which is his speed and his size, because he's quick and he's low enough to the ground to be able to attack the gaps and penetrate that zone, and this lob city to Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson all day because he's going to cause the Syracuse defense to collapse. You do not do it. And Galvin Schilling, if you remember, he was a key piece mm-hmm. in that 2015 Final Four run
yeah.
who saw absolutely 0 minutes. And being a Grand Rapids native, I'm proud of Xavier Tillman as a freshman you brought out, young fella.
Yeah. Thank you, Austin. Appreciate it, dude. And again, that's another question that I had as well. Galvin Schilling did not play at all. And I even tweeted it out. I mean, as I was sitting there covering this game, I'm tweeting out, why is Galvin Schilling not playing? Did I miss something here? Is he hurt? Did he get hurt in Saturday's practice? What's up here? I did not understand that at all. Many of you chiming in again. Justin says there is no taking over the game in a zone. Unless you're really hot, Justin, unless you just got a player who's stroking it from deep, who they can't contain off the dribble. I hear what you're saying there, though, because it's so tough for one man to completely take over the zone. And Justin goes on to say that, you know, if you can get the ball into the center of the zone, that can open up things more. And again, that's what Izzo was trying to do with the move with Ben Carter. But the thing with Carter is, I mean, you gotta make something happen. If you're in the middle of the zone, you gotta hit that 15-footer and keep that zone honest. And even, let's be real here, if you look at the tape, in the beginning of that game, they put Jaren Jackson Jr. in the middle of the zone, and it just wasn't working because Jaren, that's the thing, the length of Syracuse, I mean, they have players I know I'm going to mess up their names. I've been doing it since yesterday. But Chukwu, Dolajay, those are guys that have long arms. And the thing is, Jaren, he just couldn't get that shot off. And it was frustrating him. So, and Nick Ward, we all know Nick Ward is not a jump shooter. So they were, that's the thing. So you didn't have either three of your big men, and Carter, Jaren Jackson Jr., or Nick Ward knocking down that 15-footer. So I've always proposed this. This is what I said after the loss to Duke when Duke ran zone. Why not put Miles Bridges in the center of that zone? You got a guy who's a clear triple threat. He can put it on the floor. He can knock down the jump shot. He's a decent passer. He's not a lights-out passer, but he's a decent passer. That if the defense does collapse on him in any one of those scenarios, he can kick it out to somebody. I would have loved to see Miles Bridges play in the center of that zone. But riddle me that, right? Riddle me that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Vince just said the same thing. Bridges should have been in the middle of that zone. That's what I would have liked to seen as well. I said the same thing when they went against Duke. And ideally, if you remember, in that Duke game, in that loss to Duke, Duke played primarily zone in the Champions Classic, and it frustrated Michigan State. This was supposed to be a warm-up to the Duke zone defense. And now we will not see that come to fruition. Does this loss mean that Izzo should lose his job? I think we're being way too reactionary right now in that conversation. Just to answer that question off rip, should Izzo lose his job? No. I've always been one to kind of not shy away, but temper myself really when discussing the jobs of those in the profession of coaching, because this is their livelihood. These are guys who, you know, I cover countless coaches and have been since I've been pursuing this sports broadcasting dream since college. And I see how much time and work they put in. These dudes work hard, and sometimes due to circumstances that are not in their hands, losses pile up and the shelf life is really, really short. And fans, especially with social media, everything is amplified now. And unfortunately, many coaches aren't really given a shot. I mean, they're criticized and really put on the chopping block before they even coach a game. But Tom Izzo, this is a guy who has given so much to Michigan State. This is a man who is a Basketball Hall of Famer. This is a man who has been to 7 Final Fours. He's won a national championship, 5 Big Ten tournaments. He is, in many ways, Tom Izzo is the reason, and the basketball team is the reason, and his success leading this basketball team is the reason that a lot of people have decided to fill out that application and come to Michigan State University. He has been a great ambassador for Michigan State University, and to just fire, just to fire and say, oh, all that doesn't matter. You're done, Izzo. You deserve to be fired. That's a little harsh to me. Not a little harsh. That's really harsh to me. Spartan fans, where is the sympathy at? Is there just some sympathy there? I mean, my goodness. I mean, you look at the track record that Izzo has had and everything that he does in the community, everything that he's done for East Lansing, everything that he's done for Michigan State, and you're just that quick, lost to Syracuse, you're fired, Tom. Come on, man. Really? You that cutthroat? If that's the case, when I have a bad show, I should be done, I guess, Ian. My goodness.
Yeah, I should be done about 3 times a week here.
Right, right. I mean, I'm not going that far. I'm not going that far. That's the emotion talking. That's your anger talking. That's your frustration of 3 straight years not getting out the first weekend. Middle Tennessee State. That's Middle Tennessee State talking. That's the high expectations. National championship or bust talking. Let's take a chill pill for a minute. I think we all, let's do it together, Spartan fans. I do this every morning when I meditate. Breathe in through your nose and out through the mouth. Let's relax a little bit. Let's relax a little bit here. Ian Hawley, you were there downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena with me. We were there Friday. We were there yesterday, of course. We were in the locker room. We saw the tears. We saw the frustration. You've listened to the 50 minutes of this discussion centered on MSU losing to Syracuse. You were there. I want to get your takeaways. I want to get your thoughts on Tom Izzo before we hit this final break.
So I agree with everything that you and the listeners have been saying as far as the game is concerned. I'm questioning why Gavin Schilling didn't play at all. I still haven't found a good response from Izzo as to why Gavin Schilling did not get any minutes. And the fact that Xavier Tillman was in the game for so long was warranted. I mean, he had a great game against Bucknell, and he honestly had a really good game against Syracuse. He had 12 rebounds in his stint out there. He didn't do very well shooting, but he did what he needed to do under the glass. So as far as Ben Carter playing, though, I don't think that was the right move at all, but we've talked about that enough. I want to focus on the people who are calling for Izzo's job, because I stayed up for about 2.5 hours last night just doing some research. I got about 5 pages of notes here, so I'm ready for the rant, man, if you're ready for it.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Real quick. Well, try to make it
it'll
as
be a short rant.
As possible.
I'll make it 60 seconds.
Your world. Go ahead.
We've had 21 straight NCAA tournament appearances, which is only matched by Duke and Kentucky, if I'm not wrong, who are beating us right now. So automatically we should relax as fans, because we've been very spoiled. We've had 12 of our 21 NCAA appearances, we've exited the Sweet 16 or before, which means only 5 times have we exited in the Final Four and 2 Elite Eight exits. So overall, I mean, Izzo's doing pretty well for himself considering how many Elite Eights and Final Fours he's gotten to. He's gotten to 7. He has a 2-7 record in the Final Four and a 1-1 record in the national championship game. Again, you look at those numbers and you say, all right, well, he might not be as great of a coach as we think he is. And LeBron gets knocked for the same thing. You know, he's got his losing record in the finals. People say, oh, well, he's clearly not as good as Michael Jordan just because of that. Michael Jordan never lost in the finals. But no one's sitting there saying LeBron is not one of the two, maybe three greatest players of all time.
He's in the top five. Yeah.
He's definitely top five. So we need to relax as Michigan State fans here.
But I will say this, too.
And just appreciate the fact that we have been so spoiled by Tom Izzo.
Yeah.
And so blessed to be able to watch him and his team's work for the past 23 seasons.
I'll say this before we hit the second break. This is what happens. And Spartan fans, you should want this, okay? This is what happens when you are chasing not just good, not just good, not just great, but exceptional. The national championship expectation should have been there because this team, I mean, heck, you had everybody. Everybody on ESPN chose this team to win a national championship, right? You had the former president, Barack Obama, choosing this team to win a national championship. This is what happens when the expectations are high and when you've built an empire, and when you've built one of the best college basketball programs in the nation. You should want that pressure. And when you fall and don't reach those high expectations, you should hold your coach and those players accountable. You should hold your school accountable because you should want to be in that light. That's how Coach K has built what he's built. You should want to be in that conversation of being the best and having those high expectations. But also, when it doesn't come to fruition, let's also keep things in perspective here, that there are many college hoop programs out there that go through so much turnover when it comes to their head coach. We have been lucky to have Tom Izzo here, without a doubt. Just keep, all I'm asking is that you keep things in perspective. Tom deserves most of the blame for this loss against Syracuse. And it is upsetting, of course, without a doubt. But to call for his job, I'm not going that far. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll continue to read your comments. And I guess on tomorrow's Current Sports, we have a lot of locker room interviews. I'll have a two-minute drill coming your way in about an hour or two on our Facebook page. But we have a lot of interviews that I wanted to get to on today's Current Sports. Many of you wanted to weigh in on this topic, though, as you should. We'll make those interviews available on tomorrow's show as well. You want to hear what these players had to say in the locker room, trust me. But until then, let's hit our second break, and we'll come back and put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports. So, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. 4 minutes left in the show. 2 points I want to make. Justin says, I would be ticked off if I was 3J's parents, Jaren Jackson Jr.'s parents. He always wanted to say Ward's parents as well. Because, I mean, these are two guys who may come back, may not come back. I think Miles Bridges is gone. He's chucking up the deuces. See you later. I'm going to the NBA. Jaren Jackson Jr. is a top five NBA draft lottery pick, but there is a chance that he may return for a second season. But if I'm Jaren Jackson Jr., knowing that I was not there in the clutch time in the season's most important game, the NCAA tournament, I may be turned off a bit. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jaren says, you know what, I'm gone. I totally hear where you're going with that one, Justin. I have to agree with you. Same thing with Nick Ward and Tom Izzo and Nick Ward have gone back and forth all season. And there is a moment that happened on the sidelines that I'm sure the camera caught some of when it was on a fast break and the ball went out of the reach of Ward's hands. It goes out of bounds. Izzo immediately pulls Nick Ward. Ward bites back. They have this back and forth. Ward goes to the bench. He continues to talk on the bench. Izzo gets ticked off, and he fires over to Nick Ward, pointing at Nick Ward. Dame Fife had to break the thing up, and then we're back to basketball. But it's been noted that Ward and Izzo, they've had their back and forth interactions throughout this season. And it goes back to even the benching. I believe that was during Maryland, one of the two, earlier this season and that whole controversy. Also, Vince says, what makes this so bad is that this was a national championship team. We lost to a so-so team that didn't belong in the tournament, says Ben. And Vince also says, and we didn't even lose to a better team. We lost to a team that was a write-in. And I think that's what really hurts as well. We all thought Michigan State was at least in Detroit, basically a home game. We thought at least Michigan State would get to the Sweet 16 to play Duke. Syracuse played in the first four. This was the last at-large bid to make the tournament. You can't lose to the Orange. It's unacceptable. Line one, let's go. Tom from Grand Rapids. Tom, you are on. We're short on time, though. Can you make it quick, please?
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Thank you, Tom.
Here's my summation. I just never saw this team gel this year, so I'm not real sure. I thought they were going to go very far anyway, but I'm not an Izzo headhunter, but here's what I do think he needs to do. He needs to do what Mark D'Antonio did after his 3-9 year. He needs to sit down and tear this thing apart. Something's wrong. His substitution patterns have been crazy. I don't know if he needs some new blood in the assistant level, but, you know, we're tired. We're tired. We're running the same weave that we ran in the 1980s, so something's got to give. And I know you're short, so I'll let you go.
Tom, great point. I think something does have to give, Ian. I think that...
I agree.
You know, I'm a firm believer, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, you better call up the repairman. You need to do something, because obviously it's not working. It's not working. The adjustments weren't there. And Michigan State, a team that had lofty goals, go out early in the first weekend. No one saw this coming. On tomorrow's Current Sports, you'll get a chance to hear from the players. We talked with a ton of them in the locker room. Xavier Tillman, Nick Ward, Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum Nearing Jr., Jaren Jackson Jr., and Miles Bridges. I'll also have a two-minute drill report coming from post-game interaction with the players, as well as Tom Izzo, coming at you around 3 p.m. So keep it locked to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Much love and thanks for all of you out there for tuning in to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Thanks for listening via WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Those on social media at Facebook.com/WKAR News. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, do your best to try and get over this one, folks. Don't let it ruin the beginning of your week. Be easy, people.